last week, we completed a series. It was talking about faith. And it was talking about faith from the perspective of kind of reliving or reconnecting to stories, heroes of the Bible. We worked out of Hebrews chapter 11. And this is just how God kind of works things out. I didn't entirely put all of these pieces together until this past week as I realized we're going to continue to talk about faith. But it is in kind of a different vein. So if the last series that we had been in about faith was more theoretical and theological, this series is going to be highly practical. It's going to be a very practical experience and give you some real handles to take home. You know, the last series was all generated around some individuals and how they lived out and acted out in their faith. So this series is going to be a little bit more practical, and especially today. Are we not recording? Is my battery dead or dead? Darn it!
How about now? Oh, it is now. Okay. Technical error on this end of things. It was on, but not entirely on. Technology. Okay, so this series is going to be highly practical for us. It's going to give us some handles. In particular, today, we're going to talk in terms of and some of the disciplines, and we'll unpack that in just a minute. But I just want to give a couple of caveats. One, if you like, in the way that I preach and teach, where I'll ask and then answer questions. Today might be frustrating because I'm going to ask some questions, but I am going to leave the ball squarely in your court to take home. And some of this revolves around the insert that's in your bulletin, and we will get to that in a few minutes. So if you like everything kind of wrapped up neatly in a bow when you leave here, you might be frustrated when you leave here because I'm going to kind of leave it messy on purpose and giving you some things to take home to kind of process on your own. Here's the other thing that's going to happen. I'm going to give you a lot of information. This is going to be a shotgun approach to teaching this morning. Some of it is going to hit you square in the chest and some of it's going to fly right past you. Okay? Because of how we really want to begin this series, I'm going to give you some handles that hopefully you can carry with you through the rest of this series. One of the things that we say around here all the time, and we haven't said this in a while, and that is really that's my fault. This is something that needs to be said both by me and heard by me and the rest of us on a regular basis. That is this, that Christian maturity is not something that we accidentally fall into. It's not something that we graduate to when we hit a certain years of service or anything like that. It is something that is a pursuit over the course of a lifetime. But if you want to take a snapshot of how you're maturing in your relationship with God and in the Christian life, Christian maturity shows up dominantly like this is the easiest way to spot it. When trouble happens, when difficulty shows up, Christian maturity runs us towards God and not away from Him. Now, you might sit here and go, man, I think I find myself running away from God more than I find myself running to Him. That's okay, because this is the perfect place to deal with that. This is the perfect opportunity to acknowledge. I mean, we say this, we kind of jokingly say this all the time. It's okay to tell the truth in church, right? It's okay to be honest about where we are, especially in our relationship with God and relationship with others, when we're surrounded by people that we care about and that love us. So it is important that we acknowledge what is going on in our hearts. So if you find yourself in that spot where you go, I don't know if I am maturing like I should, because when trouble comes, when difficulty hits, I have a temptation to kind of run away from God and get everything cleaned up and then come back to Him. Well, this is a perfect opportunity to begin to address that. Now, one of the things that you'll find, there is a word that is central to maturing as a Christian, and that is engaging in or being a part of the Christian disciplines. Now, the word discipline probably does not engender a whole lot of happy thoughts about whatever it is that we're talking about, because discipline often feels like it is the result of a punishment, right? I mean, we discipline our children when they step out of line. You are disciplined at work if you're not following the rules or the operations of how work is supposed to operate, right? But discipline has this interesting little nuance to it. When we use the idea or the word of discipline in certain categories, it is something that we want to stay away from. We feel like, well, I don't want to engage in that. But when you migrate the word discipline into other categories, we kind of go, well, okay, obviously. And the way that this shows up most often is this. If we are trying to address something in the way of our weight or exercise or eating habits, we know that there is a discipline that we need to engage in, right? That something about how much or how little we're exercising, the kind of stuff that we're eating, how often we're eating, when we're eating, all those kind of things. And if we engage in a discipline that says, I will exercise this many days a week, I will eat these kind of foods, and I will stay away from these other kinds of foods, there is a result that gets that's down the road, right? We are healthier. Our body type changes, our eating habits change, our heart is more healthy, our muscles are stronger, all of those kind of things. And we look at that discipline of changing our eating and exercise, and we say, we look down the road and say, well, that's where I want to get. So I'll engage in this in order to get there. The same thing may have happened if you started a new job, where you had to learn a new task or a skill related to that job, and maybe you had to show up at the work site or the office early in order to get training, in order to do your job that you had just been hired to do. We look at that form of discipline and say, once I'm done with this, once I get this training and this kind of changes and shifts for me, down the road, there are raises, there's respect from colleagues, all of those kind of rewards as a result of this initial engagement in this discipline. When it comes to our spiritual life, though, when it comes to God, discipline with God, it feels a little bit more optional. It feels like it's something that we can kind of opt out of, perhaps, something that we don't have to engage because, after all, God isn't physically standing there at your bedside waking you up for your 5:30 workout, right? So it feels a little bit more optional. It feels like we can kind of scoot around those kinds of things. Hopefully what we'll see this week is that these things will draw us closer to God, not push us away. So let's take a look at three Christian disciplines. We'll kind of walk slowly through these. Meditation is one. Meditation as a Christian discipline is something that is, it goes way back. It is not new. It is not New Age. New Age has kind of adopted that or co-opted that idea that this is something that they have a handle on. And yet meditation is something that we see throughout Scripture as key to the individual's lives and their relationship with God. I'll give you a handful of passages on meditation. I'm not going to read all these. This is where the take-home part kind of begins. I'm not going to read and do all of the homework for you. Here are a handful of scriptures about meditation. Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 8, where Joshua is being instructed to obey the law. That is the law of God, not the law of the land. Obey the law of God. Meditate on it. That is, think about it. No, so meditation is not just emptying your mind of all thought and ideas. That's not what meditation is. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 says, delight in his, that is God's law. You go on further to Psalm 63, verse 6, talks about remembering God, being aware of who he is, being aware of the things that he has done. Psalm chapter 119, verse 78, talks about his precepts or his laws. And that passage is very poetic in how the psalmist writes about the precepts, the laws of God. And then further on, Psalm 119, verse 148, talks about the promises of God. If you just took that one thing, the promises of God are throughout Scripture. If you have a concordance and you look up promises, the places that God promised to do certain things, you could spend an entire year just kind of meditating on the promises of God because God's promises are throughout Scripture. They are continually showing up. So what we find is that there is a regular pattern of getting away with God, getting time alone with God, having, and we see it in individuals who like go off by themselves to a kind of a quiet place in the garden or in a house or those kinds of ideas. Getting away with God is any time where you can eliminate or minimize distractions that are around you. So if you have some drive time in your daily commute, wherever you drive, wherever you work, wherever you go, it would be a wise idea to sequester some of that time and just say, I'm on my way to work. And if you got a long commute, maybe you like cut that in half and say, half, by the time I get to this halfway point, between home and that spot, I'm going to meditate on God's word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be engaging with God during that time. Because we see this in Scripture with people like Joshua and David and Abraham and Moses and even Jesus. Jesus gets away to spend time with the Father, and he meditates on God's word. So like I said, this is not just emptying your mind and letting any and all thoughts kind of have free reign in your mind. It is more of focusing on God and the activity of God and the nature and character of God. Now, something that might help in this, in your worship folder, there's that long half sheet. And on it, it has the series title, Hold On Loosely. Properly gripping our faith. And then it has the prayer of examine. Now, this has kind of a shortened version of the prayer of examine. If you want to see the whole thing, you just punch that into Google and you can find all kinds of resources about the prayer of examine. Here is a simpler, kind of pared down way to engage the prayer of examine. So finding the movement of the Spirit in our daily lives as we review our days. And the first one there is to recognize the presence of God. In other words, to be still and know that you are with God. This is something we have talked about on a regular basis, that God is everywhere. There is no place in all of earthly existence that God cannot go. He created the world, and he is able to go and be anywhere he desires. So when we are, I mean, we like to kind of elevate these moments at church, right? And say, well, man, God was really at church today. And I hope that's what we feel when we come and we experience all of the worship and the prayer and teaching and all of those kind of things, that we feel like God was present. But let's understand that God is everywhere. When you go to get in your car, he's there. When you go to dinner this afternoon, he's there. When you go back to your home, when you go to school, when you go to work, he is there. So there is this recognition that the presence of God is everywhere. There is no place that God cannot go. He is not limited by any of it. So recognizing the presence of God, it's the first step. Looking at your day with gratitude, acknowledging God in all of the big and the small things of life. Again, I think this is really important. If you want to understand your relationship with God a little bit better, if you want to dive deeper into relationship with him, start just doing this one thing. Acknowledging God's activity everywhere around you. Now, this might be hard through different seasons that we have of life, because some of us have walked through and maybe currently are still walking through very dark times of life. And it might be hard to admit and see the activity of God in our lives. So you might have to start outside of you. You might have to start with things like, the sun came up. Thank you, God. Because God did that. It's not just because of the tilt of the earth's axis and the way our solar system works. God put all of that into motion. So the simple act, as far as we can, things that we take for granted, right? The sun will come up. There will be rain in the spring. There will be snow in the winter. We kind of have a temptation to gloss over all of that and say, well, okay, well, that's really great that God did that. But we're not taking into account what it is that God created and made happen there. So if, as we begin this, acknowledging God in the big and the small things of life, this I think is a very important activity for us. The next one says, review your day. And there are some questions. And again, this is the kind of stuff that is deeper than just trying to answer here in this setting or in 5 minutes after church is done. This is the kind of stuff that should be mulling, we should be mulling over in our mind as the week progresses. So under review your day, when or where in the last 24 hours did you feel you were cooperating most fully with God's action in your life? And then the follow-up to that is, when were you resisting? So there is some honesty here with yourself and with God. Were there places that I realized throughout my day that God and my life, like we were intertwined, we were intersected, that we were tied together? Is there anything apart of the last day? Because again, this reflects some of what Jesus says. Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only act in the places where I see God the Father acting. Is there anything over the last day that you have seen where your life and the life of Jesus were like intertwined and together? And then the follow-up one is maybe the harder one. Were there moments where I was resisting, where I kind of pushed back from that? I was like, you felt like God was maybe asking you to get up and go talk to them or pay for their meal or engage with that person or jump into that situation. And you kind of pushed back from the table and said, I don't think I want to do that. Again, I think it's difficult for us to be honest in moments like that when it doesn't reflect well on us. Because we, again, in our kind of culture that we exist in right now, the dominant thing to do is to present your best self to the rest of the world. And if you and I are in the habit and the process of admitting, you know what, God was asking me to step into this situation and I said no. That doesn't make us look good, right? But we need to be willing to put aside how we think others might be seeing us and interpreting what we're doing in order to get closer to God. Those are things that we need to begin with. The next question there, I think this might be on the back side. It says asking yourself, what habits and life patterns do I notice? When did I feel most alive, most drained? When did I have the greatest sense of belonging? When did I feel most alone? Now again, I'm not going to go through these, and I'm not even going to give you in this moment a time to answer those questions. This is something that I'm encouraging you to do beyond this setting, beyond what we do on Sunday mornings. There's a whole section on reconcile and resolve that I think is extremely important. We could probably preach for that on that for days. So that's the first Christian discipline is meditation. The first one is Bible reading. The biggest problem that I have noticed for me and that I have noticed in all the years that I've been doing ministry is this. Reading this book is hard. Anybody else feel like that? That reading the Bible is hard? Ever wonder why that is? I mean, because this is not just a collection of stories. It's not just a historical book. It's not a novel. It has one character at the center, but it's different. Some of us have no trouble devouring a 300 or 400 or 500-page novel. I mean, in a weekend where you're not doing anything, you can knock out a whole book. A book with all kinds of characters and complex situations. The reason that it is easier to read that kind of book, and I'm not bagging on novels. If you love reading novels, do it. Go ahead. I have no problem with that at all. The reason that it is easier to read that kind of book as opposed to the Bible is because this isn't just a fairy tale. It's not just a novel. It's not just a historical document. This is a living, breathing, spiritual book. Paul talks about this. He says, this book, God's word, has the ability to cut through and divide bone and marrow. The ability to cut through the densest parts of our hearts. All the walls that we put up and the reasons why we can't do what God has asked us to do. See, there is a spiritual nature to that book. That's why it is harder. That's why it is more difficult to read than any other book out there. Because as we dive into that book, it feels like we're reading about us or a situation that we are close to or something that we're